come in and pray for us and talk to us. And it was beautiful. We got to process our day, tell each other we love each other, ask some questions. And one question that I'm sure everyone here has asked, or if you haven't, you probably should, is what happens when we die? And it was hilarious. This week, as I was preparing for this sermon, I called my dad, and I'm 30 years old. I called my dad. I said, "Dad, what happens when we die?" I was just a theology check. I want to know what do you believe about, or what scriptures have you read? Because I was doing a lot of research. And so this is on death and resurrection today, but another title could be "What Happens When We Die?" Or it could be called "A Beginner's Guide to the Resurrection."
Yeah.
Okay? So let us pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for just a great year of sermons, Lord, and letting us go through the Purple Book and really learn about you and learn all areas about you, Lord, not just ones that we would like to preach about, but helping us preach about things that are difficult and just teach us more about you. So, Lord, I pray that you would be with us today. I pray that we would worship you today and that you'd be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The most influential factor in determining one's lifestyle is the way one views the afterlife. The most influential factor of determining lifestyle is the way one views the afterlife. The way that you and I view life after death is the most influential thing to decide what we do during this life. And I'm going to prove it to you today, but I want to talk about, this is going to be a little bit of a lecture style, so please forgive me. Some of you are going to be like, "Yes, finally, academics." Some of you are like, "Oh my gosh, Ben, just be funny and tell us stories." But we're going to go a little bit of a lecture style, and we're going to talk about some of the common views of the afterlife and some of the ramifications of that. So let's get our next slide, please. So the first one that is very, very common is annihilationism.
Right.
Annihilationism. This is the view that after we have this human experience, after we die, that nothing happens. Mm-hmm. Blackness, darkness, nothing. We get annihilated. So this is annihilationism. So if you have friends or family or coworkers who are humanists, secular humanists, who are atheists or agnostic, this is probably their view of what happens when you die. Nothing. We just get annihilated. And while this can be convenient, because it means we can do whatever we want on earth, because there's no judge, no judgment, it also is very, very sad. It's very depressing. And if what we experience on earth is all we get, you'll figure out really quickly that sometimes you have more bad days than good days. And that really the good stuff we experience is great, but it really doesn't measure up to all the suffering and pain and all the dysfunction we see in the earth. And so growing up in New Zealand, I was there from ages 8 to 18, and in New Zealand, it's always voted one of the happiest places to live every year. It's like Sweden, New Zealand, Denmark, they're always the happiest places to live. And part of the reason is there was this perception that everything was great. And if you open up the newspaper or read the news, you get this version of news they want you to hear without telling you the real story. Here's some other facts. New Zealand has one of the highest murder rates in the world with knives. They don't have guns, but they kill people with knives. It also has the number one or number two highest teenage young adult suicide rates in the entire world. So the perception is they're happy, but the youth are literally killing themselves. And a big part of that is because 96% of people in New Zealand are atheists. They believe there is no God, that nothing happens after we die. The most influential factor in determining our lifestyle is how we view the afterlife. You see, New Zealand kids, if you grow up in a middle-class socialist nation where everything's pretty cool, and by the age of 16, 17, you've tried every single drug, you have unlimited access to sex and drinking and partying, and you realize, wait a second, this is what life has to offer? I'm going to end it now. because I can't deal with the crippling depression, anxiety, and all of the curses that come with a sinful lifestyle. Right. Or I can't deal with the pressure of living up to my parents' expectations, or I can't live up to any of this. Annihilationism has major ramifications if that's what you believe. And so there's people around us, and maybe someone in this room, that if you believe that nothing happens when you die, that's really a depressing place to be. And those are some people that really need some hope. Okay, number two is reincarnation. Now, this is very popular in Buddhist, Hinduistic nations like India and in Eastern mysticism, and it's kind of creeped into the Western world with a lot of New Age spirit. I'm spiritual, I'm not religious. If you hear people talking like that, and they believe in reincarnation. Reincarnation means that it actually does matter what you do on earth because you come back as something else. So if you're a Hindu, you'd believe that if you do good, if you fulfill your dharma and you have good karma, then you may be reincarnated and come back as a higher form of life. But if you do bad, if you don't do good things, then you may come back as a cow or a rat or a beggar or something like that. And that's why there are caste systems in India, because they believe if you're born into money, then guess what? Someone previous in your previous cycle of life did really good. And if you're a beggar, I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to try to lift you up and give you charity. Why? Because obviously you're getting what you deserve. So reincarnation has a moralism to it, but it's humanistic. It's about what can I do to fix myself? Okay, so the third view is what we believe and the Bible teaches, resurrection. Resurrection. That there is a life after death, and the things that we do on earth really, really, really matter. Like a lot.
Right.
Sound good? All right, so let's get into some scripture. So Hebrews 9, 27 and 28 says, just as people are destined to die once, everybody say once.
Once.
Okay, that kind of talks about the whole reincarnation thing. We die once. And after that, to face the judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, like he did the first time, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So this is the writer of Hebrews. He's basically saying Jesus came the first time to save us from sin, to die on the cross, to bear our burden, but he is coming back again. And this time, it's for something different. The second coming of Jesus. And don't worry, we're not going to speculate on when Jesus is coming, so it's not one of those services. All right, the next scripture. This is in Philippians. It's chapter 3. We have 10 and 11, and then 19 through 21. So verse 10 says, I want to know Christ. This is Paul speaking. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings. Very interesting. Becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. And if you read the writings of Paul, he's almost obsessed with this thing called resurrection. And he wants to identify more with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus rather than what's happening on this life. It's almost like Paul is so obsessed with what's coming next, it changes everything that he does in this life. And it actually makes him have a very powerful, very productive, awesome life. Paul is literally living that the most important factor for determining one's lifestyle is the way that one views the afterlife. All right, verse 19. And he's speaking about non-believers here. He says, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach or their appetite. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. And if we're not careful, we can really have our mind set on earthly things. Comparison. I'm not tall enough. I'm not handsome enough. I'm not this enough, I don't have enough money. If I was just born with this family or this opportunity, or if I just did this, and it's all about me, 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 and earth, earth, earth.
Right.
Says they have their mind set on earthly things, verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven,
yes.
And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul was, the people he was speaking to knew Jesus had already come. But he said, we're citizens of heaven, and we're still eagerly awaiting for Jesus to come back. Again, the second coming of Jesus. Verse 21, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Okay, so these scriptures, the reason I've presented them to you is that we're setting up that Jesus is coming back again and that something's going to happen when he comes back. That our lowly bodies, and some of us are more lowly than others, but our lowly bodies are going to be transformed to glorious bodies. That's good news. Okay? And so we're going to talk about how this perspective, that what I'm experiencing right now, while it really does matter, and I do have to give an account for my life, that there is a great hope, a great expectation, that this pain, this suffering that I'm experiencing right now, the depression, the anxiety that I'm experiencing, will not last forever. Not only will I go to heaven, but there will be a day where I get resurrected in a new glorious body. All right? So I got a little diagram for you, and I know our screen's a little dark, so it might be hard to see. I'm going to step. Oh my gosh, that's impossible to see. Okay. All right, I'm going to use hands. Okay, so death. Can y'all read that?
Yeah.
When we die. There's two options. You can't see it in the red, but the one option is we've accepted Jesus. The other is we've rejected Jesus. Right? So I believe that the Lord wants all of his children on earth to come to him and accept what he did for them on the cross. Okay? We have the opportunity to accept that and say, God, I am not righteous. I am not good. You are good. I don't want to be judged for who I am. I want your righteousness. Okay, that's really salvation. Then there's another group that says, you know what? I'm really not that bad of a person. I've been to church my whole life. I never killed anybody. You know what? I really don't even like the Christian lifestyle. I want to do whatever I want to do with my body and my mind, and I reject your grace, and I want to be judged on my merits. That's the two groups. Okay? Great quote about hell. It says, hell is locked from the inside. Meaning everyone who goes to hell is not sent to hell by God because he wants to punish you. If you go to hell, you've chosen hell every single day. You have chosen, I don't want you, Jesus. I want nothing to do with you, right? If you don't want anything to do with Jesus on earth, you're not going to want him for eternity. I'll tell you that. Okay. So hell is actually very merciful. We don't have time to get into that today. But so here, rejected Jesus. And then this, you can't see it here, but we get justice, and it says righteous punishment in hell. Righteous punishment in hell. I'm a husband, and if somebody messed with my wife, this is my Ashley reference number one for those who are counting. If somebody messed with Ashley, I wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, I forgive you. Everybody sins, no big deal. I would give them justice on earth. I would give them justice. So I think God, who's a good father, I'm really counting that he's just. I'm really counting on that. Okay, so they get people who reject Jesus, God gives them justice. You didn't want me on earth. I'm not going to force you to be with me forever in eternity. So you get hell, right? Then the other group, you accepted Jesus. It says, in the scripture says, when you die, your soul or your spirit goes immediately to be with God in paradise or heaven. But we don't actually stay there forever. Both groups of people, when Jesus comes back again, there will be something, the great resurrection, the final judgment, where everyone actually wakes up, or not wakes up, but gets a new glorious body, and they stand before the white judgment seat of God, and they're judged, and the book of deeds is opened, and we're given different, I guess rankings is probably the wrong word, but we're given different rewards based on what we've actually done on earth. And then if you rejected Jesus, you go back to hell, and if you did not, you get to rule and reign on the new heaven and the new earth. Okay? That's good news. That's awesome. So, I don't know if you guys ever thought this, but have you ever thought, like, God, heaven sounds kind of boring. Have you ever thought that? Never? Okay, wow, just me. So, you know, I mean, I get bored at church sometimes. You guys are great, wow. But it gives me really like a lot of comfort to know that I'm not just going to be some like ethereal spirit soul in heaven, you know, for all time, but I'm actually going to get a glorious, renewed physical body, and I get to come back to the earth the way it should be. And that's going to be amazing. And that's awesome. That's something to look forward to. And when we understand this, this totally reshapes the way we view suffering, pain, and trials and tribulations on earth. But if you're not looking forward to anything, and if life is just really bad, that's really discouraging. So many of you know I just turned 30, and I'm getting more compassion for people in their latter years of life. 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, gosh. And my body is slowly betraying me. Just anyway, so 2 weeks ago, I had a pain in my tooth, in my molar, and it started off kind of dull, and then it got worse and worse, and it ended up being the worst pain I've ever experienced, where I would get shocks that would run all the way through my head. And I was literally like, God, why? Like, why, please? And it was so bad. It was terrible. It's the worst pain I've ever experienced. I've had multiple surgeries from football. I mean, I used to hit my head against people for a living, and this was way worse. And I was like, God, I cannot live like this. I cannot do it. And one day, it just stopped. Praise God. And I went to the dentist, the endodontist, and they said, what happened, Ben, is the nerve in your molar died. Just died. And basically, it was going through the last death throes. And so you were feeling all the pain of your nerve dying. And I was in a good mood. So I was like, doctor, that was so bad. Like, how does that compare to childbirth for women? And I was just kind of teasing Ashley, you know. You know, I think all guys ask it. And the endodontist, I swear to goodness, this is what he said. He said, Ben, mothers consistently tell me that that pain is worse than childbirth. And so I went through a lot, guys. It's a lot. So if you're a mother out there, I know. It's me and you. Yeah. Thank you for what you do. Thank you, Mom. I appreciate it. But anyway, if you don't believe in an afterlife, having your nerve die on you is just so stupid. Like, God, why did you create nerves in your teeth that will die? But if I understand that one day I will be resurrected and my new glorious body, there will be no nerve damage, there will be no nerves dying, there will be no pain, there will be no depression, no anxiety, that gives me great and tremendous hope. Great and tremendous hope. It actually makes me want to look forward to it even more. Yeah, very good. Okay. So here's our main text for today. It's 1 Corinthians 11, and we're going to be I changed up a little bit, guys in the back. We're going to do 42 through 58 is what we're going to use today. So 15, 42 through 58. Please forgive me for that. It's been a long week, a lot of pain. So, yeah, thank you cards would be appreciated. It was traumatic. We'll have a funeral for my nerve. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, 42 says, so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. So he's speaking about the final judgment, the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown, or our earthly bodies now, is perishable. It will be raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. So Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and there's a group of people in Corinth that say resurrection's not real. Mm-hmm. Like, if resurrection's real, why don't we see it all the time? Okay? And Paul writes, says, listen, if you don't believe in resurrection, you can't believe in Jesus, because Jesus came, died, was resurrected, and he actually got his new earthly or new glorious body already. I think that's why some of his disciples never recognized him, right? Because he had been resurrected. Okay, so he's writing to this church. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Yes. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, or Jesus, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. So he's saying, first we get our natural bodies, which we all have right now. But after is coming something that's imperishable, that's honorable, that's strong, that's spiritual. Verse 47, the first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As with the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth and is the heavenly man. So also are those who are of heaven. Verse 49, and just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. So what Jesus did when he died and was resurrected, Paul is saying, listen, you guys are going to get the same thing. Right now, you have an earthly body, but one day you too will die and also get resurrected. Praise God. Yeah. Verse 50, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep or die, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Verse 53, for the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Yes. Where, O death, is your victory? Yes. Where, O death, is your sting? Yes. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 58, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Amen.
All right, so Paul's writing, saying, listen, you too will be resurrected. And the power of the cross, the power of Jesus coming back, is not just proving that he wasn't a man, he was actually God. It's not just that we have forgiveness of sins here on earth. It's not just that our souls will go to heaven and we will be with Jesus. But the power of the resurrection is this, that one day, me, you, believers across the world will be resurrected. And we will enter into what the world should be, what the world could be, free from pain, free from sickness, free from death, free from racism, free from hatred, free from everything. That's the power of the cross. That's the power of the resurrection. And Paul is writing, because of that, he's saying, death did not just have no hold on Jesus, death has no hold on me or you. And I'll never forget it. There was this one Messianic Jew. He was a Jewish man who believed in Jesus. And he said he had a community of Jewish believers in Israel. And he said when people would die in their community, they would throw the biggest, greatest parties ever. It was like the greatest celebration. He's like, we believe in the resurrection. We believe that they're going to a better place. We believe that they are just broken out like a seed being planted into the ground. They're breaking out of their shell, and they will grow into what God had purposed and destined them to be from the very beginning. Isn't that amazing? And so the way that we view the afterlife is the most important factor in determining what we do day to day. It really matters. What we do really matters. And I love that Paul ends it with this, with all this like future spiritual resurrection, he makes it real practical. He says, because of all this, because we have victory over death, because the power of sin and death and the law is broken, we're under grace, therefore always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord.
Amen.
Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. He's saying, because you have this spiritual revelation of what's going to happen, that shouldn't make you more aloof from the world and just wait till you go to heaven, right? And let the world crumble. But he says it should make you even more earnest to do fully the labor and the work that God has for us to do. Right? And I don't know about you, but I've been around groups of Christians or people who are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good.
Amen.
And Paul's saying this revelation should not make you so earthly minded, no heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. This should make you earthly productive.
Yes.
This should make you even more earnestly share the gospel because you want more people to be in the resurrection.
Yes.
Right? This is a total rabbit trail, but let's just flirt with it real quick. So, some people think that the earth we're on is going to be regenerated. So the actual things we do with this earth really, really matter, right? Some people think we're going to get a whole new one. But if we are going to inherit this earth, we got to do a really good job of stewarding it, right? So it really matters what we do. Anyway, I don't want to get into that. Sorry. Food for thought. All right, so I got three main points for y'all. Number one is our hope is not in this life. 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 Our hope is not in that promotion. Our hope is not in getting married, not having kids, not on vacation, not becoming a millionaire. Our hope is not in this life. Now, I do want you to enjoy this life. That's why God created the earth, for us to worship him and enjoy his presence and enjoy the earth, right? We need to enjoy everything that God's given us, right? But our hope is not in that.
Good.
Our hope is not in that. Because if your hope is in this life, then you really will have a terrible way to deal with suffering and pain.
Yes.
You can't, actually. Mm-hmm. And a lot of reasons that, I think that the two main reasons believers fall away or people don't want to be Christians is one is lordship, they don't want a boss, and two is the theology of suffering. People can't deal with pain.
Yes.
They can't deal with why would God put me through so much trauma? Why would God allow this to happen? And what they're not remembering is that Jesus came down to earth and his answer for suffering was that he came and suffered more than all of us for us so that we will get resurrected.
Yeah.
Right? So next time you want to ask God, why did this happen to me? Ask a different question. Ask God, why would you send your son to die for a sinner like me? That's a much better question. Number two, what we do on earth has eternal ramifications.
Yes.
Eternal. My dad preached a great sermon last month about world missions and evangelism. And he asked this question, if you, by your words, could change somebody's eternal destiny, would you speak those words? And everyone obviously would say, yes, I would. But why do we have, as a church in America, such a hard time evangelizing, sharing the gospel, right? Why are we so afraid to offend people? Why can we find so many other religious duties to do except for doing really the most important thing, which is sharing this great resurrection news?
Amen. Yeah.
And the power of Jesus.
Yes.
Right? What we do has eternal ramifications.
Yes.
It really does. It really does. What we do really matters. And, okay, another rabbit trail. This is just for fun. This is because it's December. So some people think, I mean, this is great. I encourage y'all to do this chapter in the Purple Book. There's 20 lines, 20 fill-in-the-blanks, like 16 scriptures, has you read a long chapter. It's intense, but it's awesome. Some people believe that, you know, the world is going to end like now, like this is the end times, like it's going to end like tomorrow. But I think, personally, that the world's probably going to be around for another like 10,000 years. I think it really matters how we build, that we make generational disciples, that we do get married and have kids and buy land.
Yeah.
I think it really matters,
uh-huh.
Right? And I think one of the ploys of the enemy would be to make us so short-sighted.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you guys have ever played chess before, but me and my dad love to play chess. And if you start off your chess game saying, I got to get a checkmate in 3 moves, you are going to open yourself up to just get destroyed. Chess is all about developing your pieces and building a long-term strategy to win in the mid to late game. I think a lot of us have a real short game in mind. if I can just get through my life with as little suffering, with as little pain, I'll be okay. Rather than thinking, wow, I am just a seed that's going to be sown on earth. I'm going to get my resurrection. I'm going to get my eternal body. I'm going to get my reward. But I need to do what it takes to pass this on to the next generation and the next generation. Wow. Right? Yeah. And sharing the gospel with people is great. Getting people saved is great. But you know what's really more important? Is if you will disciple them and lay foundations that will last forever. With ENC, our college campus ministry, we don't want to just get 300 people in this room and party and get free pizza, have a great time. We want our students that get saved to be discipled and be serving Jesus their whole life. And when they're 80, 90 years old, they have three or four generations that are all disciples of Jesus following him.
Amen.
Right? That's the goal.
Yes.
What we do on earth has eternal ramifications. Number three. Our labor and suffering are not in vain. This is hard. This is a hard one. I got time. So, about a month ago, Ashley and I wasn't going to plan to share this today, but we had a miscarriage. And I lost my son. And it's hard to be like, why, God? Like, why did you give us a son if you were going to take him so early? But when you learn about the love of God, and God just ministered the whole time and said, Ben, I wanted him in heaven now. And he was my son. He wasn't really your son. And when you understand that one day I will be resurrected and I'll see my son, it makes it all worth it.
Amen.
And I've actually grown closer to God during this time because I'm so thankful that God would send his son to die for me.
Yes.
And that pain is not in vain. It's not in vain. I don't know why God does that stuff like that or allows that to happen, but I know that he loves me so much. He sent his son to die for me. But if I didn't have this view of God, that this life is, it's not about this life.
Right.
It's about the next life. Mm-hmm. It's about the next generation. It's about the resurrection. Right? If I didn't have that view, this would have been almost insurmountable. And I understand why people who don't believe in God have such a hard time with loss.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. And we have hope.
Yes.
We have the answer. We have the truth. We have the gospel. But our labor and our suffering are not in vain. Last scripture. Actually, you can come on up if you want to. I'm sorry. Acts 24, 15 through 16. And I have the same hope in God as these men themselves have, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. 16, so I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man.
Yes.
Paul finishes this, says, listen, because I know there is a resurrection, there is a judgment that doesn't make me too heavenly minded, it makes me really earthly good. I strive even more to keep my conscience clean because I realize that Jesus came and died for me so that I can have enter into this resurrection power that propels me, that grace pushes me to work harder to keep my conscience clear, right? And so maybe some of us in here, we're dealing with different things, discouragement, anxiety. We're dealing with, you know, we just for some reason, we can't read our Bible, or we just can't share the gospel, or we have all this comparison, or whatever God's dealing with us in our hearts. A big part of that is how you view the afterlife. Are you really focused on the resurrection? Are you thankful for the resurrection? Do you understand that Jesus came and didn't just suffer and die, but he was resurrected, and that gives us hope, and that people need that hope, and that I need that hope?
Yes.
The gospel is not a one-time thing where I hear the gospel, what Jesus did for me, and I repent, and now I'm good forever. No, and the Bible clearly says that when you get saved, every day you are still being saved, and that one day you will be saved. The gospel wants to transform your life today, tomorrow, and forever. This realization of what Jesus did and what the resurrection really means is forever. And so they tell you when you go into ministry, they say, preach the gospel to yourself every day. Because if not, you will get taken out by the suffering, by the pain, by the distractions, by the comparison, by the discouragement, by the lack of results. Right? Preach the gospel to yourself every day. And so this morning, I want to end with a moment of worship, not with the band, but just a moment of worship, and just thanking God for what he's done, that we have hope. Because honestly, God didn't have to give us any hope. He could have said, guess what? You get your life experience, then it's done. Annihilated. But instead, he says, no, I want eternity with you. I have a plan for you, resurrection power. And you get that today, right? And the more you read about Jesus, the more you read about God, the more you understand that they're resurrection experts. That's what they do best, is God comes into our lives and resurrects dead things. That's what he did with me. I don't have time right now, but I'll tell you my testimony. I was dead, and my spirit was dead, and Jesus came inside and resurrected me. So with that, I'm going to pray over you, and we're going to have a moment of worship, thanking God. And if you haven't received Jesus into your heart, and you have not accepted Jesus like the graph show, we want to give you that opportunity. So we're going to have our prayer team come up afterwards. Please talk to them, but let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the revelation that we don't just die, that there's a resurrection, that you love us so much that you don't leave us in pain and suffering, but you came down and suffered for us so that we can have joy and peace on earth, but also resurrection power and be resurrected with new glorious bodies. Lord, we worship you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, we just focus on you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray during this Christmas season that we would be so focused on you, have such a perspective of you, that that's what this month would really mean to us, and that we would be so excited and fired up about you that we would couldn't help but share it with people and love people and be generous with people. Lord, we worship you and we thank you. Father, I pray that you would bless us today, that you would reveal yourself even deeper, and that you would help us be more like you. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, with that, we will conclude our service. If you'd like prayer, our prayer team will be up here. If not, have a great Sunday and just bask in the hope that we have in the resurrection power. God bless you. Have a great day.